Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin, and our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I'm just excited about what God is doing in my life, and I pray that you're excited about what he's doing in your life as well. Amen. We definitely had a good time over there at the conference. Thank God that we were able to hear the words that were spoken. One of the words that really stood out to me was generational. It has to be more than just about yourself. Amen. One thing that I constantly pray for myself is that my family is my prized possession. You know, a lot of times, especially as men, we get our cars, we get our, what are those rooms in the house? That, man cave, right? This is my area. I need just my space, but it has to be bigger than us. Amen. And that's what God wants. He wants it to. I want to see God do things in my sons and my daughter's lives that it even goes beyond me. I definitely believe that as we continue to raise our children should be placed in better positions spiritually, physically, mentally than we were when we were their age. Right. When we left the house, my job should be able to make them better than what my parents did. And my parents did a good job, so I got a lot of work to do. Amen. But that's our job. Not only that, but our spiritual walk. My kids should hear me praying and be transformed from that and stirred by that. Amen. And that's really what I am longing for. And it was powerful just to hear the Pastor Dan, that was his name, the first night, just share. You could just tell he was really attached to his children. I mean, his son was like, oh, my son's here. He kept saying, okay, now everybody got prayed for. Now let's pray for my son. So I saw the urgency and the excitement that he had for his children. And we have to do that as well. Amen.
Amen.
And the second night, the brother just went into prophecy a long time, but he also talked about Jesus coming to your house. Jesus went with that man, that leader, and he said, hey, Jairus, he called him Jairus. He said, my daughter is dead, or she's dying, and I need you to come. And Jesus went. But as he even went to meet that need, he met other needs. Amen. So the presence of God is a powerful thing. Somebody say the presence of God is powerful. All right, we're going to get going in this series that I'm continuing in. And before I start, I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity, dear God, for us being here today, dear God. Despite all that has happened, we thank you, dear God, that you woke us up this morning. We thank you to God for the opportunity to hear a word from you. So God, I pray to God that this word goes beyond even what I say, and that your spirit, dear God, speaks to your people, oh God, and that your spirit sets free, that your spirit delivers, that your spirit moves. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen, amen. I've been preaching on back to the basics. Somebody say back to the basics. It's important that we understand that there is going to be times where you have to go back to what you learned when you first came to Christ. Okay? I hear so many people that have been saved, when they first got saved, they were like, oh, I was on fire. I had to go tell everybody, right? You guys heard somebody say that? I got saved. I had to tell my neighbor. I had to tell these people right here. But guess what? You have to go back to the basics. That fire that you received in the beginning should not be dwindling now. Amen. You have to go back to the basics. Maybe when you learned, there were some things that you learned, or you even studied a little different. How many ever tried to learn a new subject in school and you had to start studying? Right. It just didn't come to you. You're like, oh, man, this is a little bit more difficult. I don't know about you. I always tell you guys I had problems with geometry. I was trying to remember the formulas. If you can remember the formulas, you're good, but you have to study those formulas. So when you first got into class, you're like, man, I'm trying to figure this thing out so I can get this thing down. That's how we were when we were first introduced to Christ. So we must go back to the basics. And just a quick highlight, I'm just going to tell you the things that I've already talked about. I've talked about a prayer life. Okay. And in that prayer life, we talked about interceding. These are available on the podcast. Also, I talked about presenting your request to God. If you have a request to God, you have to share it with God. You have to let him know what you're dealing with. You have to know, but you also have to know how to approach him. And then also I talked about hindrances to your prayers. Did you know that your prayers could be hindered? We talked about that. Amen. And now we're going to talk about some more about prayer, but it is spending time with God. Somebody tell your neighbor, spend time with God. Spend time with God. Now, why do we spend time with God? I need some answers. Come on, somebody help me. Why do we spend time with God? Okay.
To grow closer.
Okay. Come on. Some more answers.
To listen to him.
Yes.
To know his will.
Okay. Anybody else? Why do we spend time with God?
Be in communication with him and right following the Lord.
Okay. We said the nice things, but do you know that God corrects?
Yes.
Nobody said that. Because we want to take a test with no corrections. I just want to take the test, Lord. We all pass if there's no correction, right? But God correct. The Bible says this, that he chastises or corrects those that he loves. Now, if my kid just ran in the street and I didn't say anything, I might not be a good father. So if I see her running in the street or him running in the street, I'm going to yell at him and be like, don't do that. You cannot do that, especially depending on how young they are. Right. I remember Mari when she first started able to, you know, we have a little drive. Some of you guys went to my house. We have that little parking lot. And to get to my car, you have to cross a little spot of the parking lot. And there was a few times where Mari would just take off running. And I'm like, Mari, you cannot do that. Why? Because I don't want her to get hurt. Right. And I want her to learn from this. So I said, you have to stop. Look both ways. Make sure you're OK. No cars are coming. And then begin to go. Right. Now, the first time I yelled at Mari about that, she probably cried. Why is he yelling and crying? Because I am looking out for her well-being. Okay? The same thing with God. God is looking out. Somebody tell somebody, God is looking out for your well-being. There is going to be some times where you must be corrected. I've had dreams where God corrects me. I mean, it was. I remember one dream. It was kind of like you're halfway awake and halfway asleep. Anybody had dreams like that? And that's how you know it's for real. I can see the moon in, like, I don't even know how this happened, but I can see the moon from my bed. I was laying in my bed and I could see the moon. And at that time, I don't think I was, I might have had a little animosity against God. I was like, God, things ain't going the way they supposed to go. And in this dream, the moon came and hit me in my bed. And I knew what that was. He was like, you need to get right, son. And so I woke up, I was like, Lord, I'm sorry, right? But I thank God that he corrects me. Because without his correction, without his direction, I'm in trouble. Okay? And this is for everybody. We have to understand that God is not just a God that just, oh, I want everything to go good. He's going to help you understand how to get to his will and his perfect will. Sister Jane says we get into his presence for direction, right? We must pray, God, direct my steps. When you pray, what you are doing is you are taking it out of your own consciousness, or you're taking it out of your own mind and saying, God, I need your direction. Lord, show me which way to go. And that's the same thing that the Bible says when it says in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. That's what happens when you say, God, I need your direction. And you have to get to a place where you say, okay, I might have prayed that when I first got saved because I didn't know what to do. Right? How many got saved? They didn't know what to do. I do the radio show many times. I interview a lot of Christian rappers that or urban gospel music artists that had talents before they got saved. They got saved and they said, I didn't know if I can use this anymore. And many times there had to be a time in prayer where God says, I want you to use this gift. Right? There had to be a time where God told them, yes, now is okay. There might have been a time where they said, leave it all alone. Just get away from it. Okay? It was a hindrance to you. Okay? Get away from it. But then there's times where God will say, okay, now is the time. And that direction comes from spending time with God. Amen? When you spend time with God, he will also give you insight. Somebody say insight. What's insight? It's almost like you can see inside, right? You can see inside of different things, right? And I'm not trying to act all psychic type. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God showing you sometimes things that will happen before they happen. Many times I almost got in a car accident, but God showed me in slow motion what was happening. So I look and I'm like, oh my God, God, you stopped that because you gave me insight. That comes from spending time with God. Okay. Another thing that's huge is wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. These things all come from when we spend time with God. I'm going to go to a few scriptures of people that actually were in the presence of God today. And we're going to talk about Zacchaeus. Somebody say Zacchaeus. And then we're going to also talk about Mary and Martha. Okay. We're going to talk about the times that they were in the presence of God and the things that happened that transpired. I'm sorry. Or whatever happened. Okay. Let's just go there. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10 is my first passage. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. And it says, Jesus comes to Zacchaeus' house. And that's kind of funny because yesterday he was going to Jairus' house, right? Today he's coming to Zacchaeus' house, and I pray that he's coming to your house. But Jesus has to be invited in to come to your house. Amen. It says this, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Somebody say Jericho. Huh, now we all know about Jericho. That walls had to fall down, right? Hey, and I don't know why this came to me, but there's going to be times where Jesus is going to come to your life, but walls must fall down so he can enter. Sometimes we build up edifices or different things that keep Jesus from entering, but Jericho, the walls had already fallen years back, and Jesus entered, and he says he passed through. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector. And he was rich. Now, my young people, he was balling. Okay? He had a good job. Matter of fact, people that saw him, they wanted to be him. Okay? Except for if he was coming to your house to collect taxes. Okay? Now, this means he was of prestige. Many of the people that were enslaved or borrowers didn't like this guy because he was a lender. And if you had money you owed him, he might have fixed the books just a little bit so he can get a little bit more. That was Zacchaeus. But here's something that's very interesting. He was rich. He was this. He was prestigious, but he was short. Somebody say he was short. So he might have been, let's just say he was 5 foot flat. Okay, let's just put a number on it. Okay, he's 5 feet. So he's in a crowd of people and somebody looked at somebody that was 5 feet and just rolled their eyes. I know. It's okay. But it says, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, And he was going to pass that way. So Zacchaeus, just to see, somebody say see. He just wanted to see Jesus. So he did all of this. He ran ahead, started climbing a tree. And I don't know how what a sycamore tree looks like. But he started climbing this tree just so he can see Jesus. It didn't even say he wanted to talk to him. It didn't say that he had questions or anything like that. He just wanted to see Jesus. So this is a word that's been in my spirit all week. And his desperation just to see Jesus caused him to do something different. Because if Jesus wasn't special, I guarantee he's not hopping up a tree. He's not getting his nice, rich clothes messed up from hugging a sycamore tree trying to get up it. Right? So his desperation caused him to do something. And that's a word for somebody today. When you are spending time with God, your desperation, like I said earlier, is going to cause you to do something different. And it says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today, it says, I must stay at your house. Do you know that Jesus wants to meet you more than you want to meet him? Did you know that Jesus wants to be with you more than you want to be with him? Huh? Can I get a witness? Okay, cool, cool. Because you know that when Jesus went to the cross, he actually said, God, I really don't, in my body, I don't want to do this. But because I love you so much, and not only do I love you, because he is God, he loved us so much, he gave his life for us. The Bible says that it says this right here. There is no love greater than a man that would lay his life down for his friend. Okay? So Jesus walks by and sees Zacchaeus and says, hey, I'm going to come to your house. Now, Jesus doesn't say this because he's rich. Right? Jesus is not a respecter of person. That means he's not going to look at what you have or what you look like or how many people are around you. He don't care about all that stuff. He cares about your heart. Okay? So he saw the heart of Zacchaeus that just wanted to see him. But he said, no, I want to do more than just see you. I want to go to your house. I want to commune with you. I want to be with you. Somebody say, I want to be with God. Okay, okay. I say it like you mean it, though. I want to be with God. I mean, I think we are like non-denominational, but I think we got a little bit of Pentecost in here. Okay, so we can speak up just a little bit. Amen. Amen. I know it's a little warmer today, but it's all right. I'm not going to keep you too long. Amen. So it says, so he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. That's a word right there. If you want to receive God, you got to do it joyfully. Amen. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, uh-oh. This is the thing. Anytime you are with God, somebody always has a problem with it. I remember walking down the streets. We had our t-shirts that said it's all about Christ. We'll be at the Puyallup Fair just walking around. Somebody sees that and they have a problem with it. Now, if I said some explicit lyrics or something on my shirt or something explicit that had curse words on it, everybody praises it. Yeah, that's a cool shirt, man. You put Jesus on it, somebody's going to have a problem. And I'm going to guess that when it says, but when they all saw it, they all complained, saying he has gone to be with a guest, with the man who is a sinner. I'm going to just look at this and say that was people that were supposed to be around God. Right? I believe that was what we might call the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those who thought they were holy in their own right, that were in the crowd, but they weren't really spending time with God. See, this is the dangerous thing. You can live your whole life around God and never actually get to know God. That's dangerous. That's when you think, oh yeah, God, I'm doing everything that you call me to do. One thing I remember preaching very early when I started preaching was, you can get lost doing things for God and miss the point that you need to actually know God. You catch that? You can get lost doing all these things for God and miss the point that it is really just about knowing him. Because if the Bible doesn't say that when you get to heaven, he's going to ask you, hey, man, did you actually do this? Did you do that? He's going to say, did you depart from me, you work of iniquity? I did not know you. Okay? So knowing God is key. That's why we spend time with God, just to know him. Amen? Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Okay? So what is happening here? Just the fact that Jesus comes to be with Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus has a change of heart. You catch this? He's saying, look, God, okay, I'm a tax collector, I know, but now I'm going to give half of everything that I have to the poor. Like, right, he's trying to make it right because he's in the presence of God. And when you're in the presence of God, things start to shift. You start to be convicted and you say, I need to get right with you, God. So God, look, God, he's actually praying because he's with God, right? That's what prayer is. He's with God and he says, look, Lord, I'm going to give half of the goods to the poor. And if anything that I've done wrong, I want to rectify that thing, which means I want to get that right. This is what Zacchaeus says because Jesus came to his house. And it says, and Jesus said, today, look at this. Today salvation has come to this house because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. When you go to seek God, do you act like you're lost and say, I need direction? Or do you act like that Pharisee in the Bible, where, God, I've done everything right. I'm not that man over there. You see that person over there? They're a sinner. They've done everything wrong. I mean, dang, God, if you didn't know, this is what happened last week, right? Or are you the one that's still saying, God, I need you? My prayer every day is, God, create in me a clean heart. Restore a right spirit within me. Okay, every day I wake up, I must say, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Because any time that I think that I can do this thing by myself, that's when you're going to have a problem. Okay, so Zacchaeus, we saw him. God came to his house and he changed him. Amen. So when we spend time in the presence of God, it causes us to be like him. It causes us to see his heart. Amen. My next point is, desiring God is key. You have to desire God. You notice the things that you really desire to do, you actually do. No matter how busy your schedule is. And we all got busy schedules, right? But if I desire to get something done, it's going to get done despite how busy it is. Now, I don't desire to do this, but I made a challenge to do 150 push-ups every day. And I be at the house around 11 o'clock at night looking at 100 push-ups left and say, I don't desire this. But I challenge myself and I get down there and my kids, they watch me and I do them. But you have to desire God. When you desire God, it does something different. When you desire God, it causes you to put him ahead of other things. Or even just scope out some time where, okay, God, this is your time. I just, even if there's kids here, God, I'm just going to spend time with prayer. The crazy thing is, I'm loving what Kiki is doing. Every time I just start praying in the house, I might just say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Can you pray for me? Pray for me. And then now she got hurt. She'll come and then little Cell will come up next to her and pray for me. He don't say it, but I know what he's saying. And then the kid that I watched, it's like my goddaughter Lola, she comes and says, pray for me too. So I pray for all of them, right? Three in a row. And I don't just be like, God bless them. I'm like, God, move right now. Right? Because they see that God is doing something. They desire God, even at that age. And I thank God for that. Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. It's not very long. It says, Mary and Martha worship and serve. Now, you would look at that title and not think there's something wrong with that. Right? Are we all called to serve God? Right? Are we all called to worship God? So if I look at this title, I'm like, oh, God is doing something good. Mary and Martha are worshiping and serving God. But let's check this out. It says, now it happened as they, it's Luke 10 verses 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now she's doing the same thing as Zacchaeus, right? Welcoming Jesus into her house. Okay. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. All right, but check this out. But Martha, this is key right here, was distracted. Somebody say distracted. Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to get up and help me out. Right? Therefore, tell her to help me. That's what she said. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. Something when he has to tell you, call your name twice, right? I don't think Jesus just, he couldn't, he didn't have a stuttering problem. But he called her name twice so that he can really get her attention. You are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Now I can say honestly that I've been on both sides of this, where I have served God and been distracted. And said, God, there's nobody else doing this work. I need somebody's help, Lord. Come on. You know, you're praying and tarrying. But see, when God is in your house, you need to just stop and get in connection with him. It wasn't a bad thing that she was serving. The problem was she was missing that Jesus was in the house. She invited him in. See, check this out. This is what can happen sometimes. We invite God in, but then when he comes in, we start getting distracted. Oh, man, Jesus is in. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I got to go do a. Got to wash these dishes. I got to. Sometimes you just have to sit at his feet and hear his word. Sometimes you have to sit at his feet and hear his word. Because that's what you're really praying for. Spending time with God. And I know that these people actually had a real live Jesus in their house. But when you pray and you allow him to come in, when you ask him in, guess what? He comes in. And we must stay at his feet. At your feet. In your arms. To be with you forever. We just sang that, right? At your feet. In your arms. To be with you forever. When you say that, do you mean it? See, a lot of times we pray, God, I need your help. I'm going to wait for you. And then something else comes and you're like, oh, all right, God, that might be it. Thank you. Not realizing that we're missing God. Yesterday, as we left the conference, we were driving on a road and a man had his car with his hood up and it probably needed a jump. So I stopped. Hey, brother. It wasn't a brother, but I said, hey, do you need a jump? Can I help you? And he kind of looked at me weird, you know, like he was checking it out. You know, I'm black in a different neighborhood. Right. And he, no, I don't need a jump. My tow truck's coming, right? So I was like, okay. And so I told my daughter, I was like, yeah, see, he looked at me differently because of what I look like. But if he needed that jump, it might have helped him because sometimes them tow trucks don't come when you want them. And they don't come on time. They are not God. I don't know. Has anybody waited for a tow truck before? It will take, come on, Chris, talk to me. It might take 3 hours. And you're like, man, I live in Seattle. Where the heck were you at? Right. And I'm not talking about Michael. He drove tow trucks. I'm not talking about you, Mike. But it takes forever. And I got the little power jumper thing. I could have just put it on his car. But see, some people don't want help because it doesn't look the way that they wanted that help. See, this is the thing. If you want help from God, don't ask for help from God and just say, I want it to look like this. Let God do what he does. Because many times God is going to do something out the box anyway. That's how you know it's God. Where you can't even explain it, right? You can't even get your mind to wrap around what happened. You just know, man, that was God. When a miracle happens, when you go back to the doctor and they say, what's going on? Oh, it was God. It was God, right? Because there is nothing that can explain it. They actually just have a word for it. It was a miracle. But the only miracle worker that we know is God. Amen? So you must desire God. Amen? Last thing we're going to go, we're going to look at Martha, Mary and Martha one more time. This time in the book of John, verse 11. And this is when, this is in a time, I would like to call this a time of crisis. Lazarus, which is Mary and Martha's brother, died. Okay? Somebody said he died. He died, and Mary and Martha knew that if Jesus came, he could have healed them. Or he could have healed him, I'm sorry. So this is a point of crisis. Somebody say crisis. A lot of times when we are in these places, that's when we seek the most. Or you get upset the most. Right? Have you heard somebody say, God, why did this happen? Right? Or we've asked those questions. God, why did you allow this to happen? But let's read this story and see what happens. So it says in verse 17, we're going to read this through 41 and then we'll be done. It says, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. So Lazarus is dead for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the woman around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met with him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now, Martha, she does a great job of going to Jesus. That's what I'm going to say about Martha. She has a great job of going. Jesus is there. Oh, I'm gone. Right. Well, let's see what happens. He says, now, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you would have just got here. Now, I know you weren't too far. You were not a tow truck. Right? You weren't too far. But if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Many of us say the same things when things like that happen in our life. God, if you just could have showed up, how hard is it for you to just heal somebody? God? God, and really what happens is if we don't get our heart right, it causes a callous to the things of God because now we are in a situation where we blame God instead of bless God. But it says, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. So she says that, but she still believes that he is able to do something. But then listen, Jesus gives her a word. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Now, guess what? I'm pretty sure she heard that in English, or actually Hebrew, right? She heard that in her language very clear. But it says, Martha said to him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But she missed what he was saying. Okay? She heard the word of God. See, this is key. We can hear the word of God, but we can miss the meaning of it. Okay? We can hear him say that I am going to move in this situation right now. And we're like, oh, yeah, yeah, one day when we get to heaven. And really what I believe is that really means that I'm not really truly fully believing it. Because, you know, in heaven, everything's going to be right. Oh, yeah, one day in heaven. Yeah, one day in heaven. Yeah, I had a kid that I used to play baseball with, Dad, if he remembers. He just said, keep on wishing. Right? And that's kind of what she said. Oh, I'll just keep on wishing. Keep on hoping. Yeah, you said it. Okay, cool. And Jesus said to her, he had to break the word down that he said a little bit more. And this happens when you're in the presence of God. Sometimes you're in the presence of God, you are praying, and he might share a word. And if you don't understand it, you say, God, please give me clarity on what you're trying to tell me right now. So Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Then he had to ask her a question. Do you believe this? God has spoken things to you, but do you believe it? Do you receive it? Or do you kind of like, oh yeah, I'll just put that up there. It's another thing to put on the mantle. God promised me that one day. Hopefully it comes to pass in the time that God says, or in his time, and in his, you know, this is the fancy word that church people like to say. Oh, it's in his will. Whenever his will is, he has his will, yeah. You don't believe it if you don't receive it. It says, she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was able to come into the world. But it stops there, and she doesn't believe the rest of the word that she says. So she believes in God. See, check this out. She believes in God, but she doesn't believe in the word that God spoke to her situation right there. Huh? See, a lot of us believe in God, but when God speaks a word to our situation, we don't accept that word. I'm a Christian, but that's a little bit too, I don't know, that's a little bit too much. God spoke a word to me. I mean, how many people know that people don't even believe that Jesus speaks to us right now? Oh, that went away. But the Bible says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I change not. So anything that God has done, he will continue to do, because his word, which is truth, says that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I change not. All right. So if somebody told you that God doesn't speak anymore, go to that scripture. Go look up that scripture. You even can Google it. It'll come up. Right. And just say, hey, his word says this. What you just said doesn't line up with his word. His word is truth. This is how we have to test things these days. If you say something that, oh, wait, hold up. That's not what the word of God says. Not in its entirety, right? So I have to stand on what his word says. And it says, and when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. In a moment of crisis, God is still calling for you. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into town, but was in a place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went following her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, I just keep seeing Mary, and Mary was always, she fell down at his feet. What does that resemble? Bowing down. What does that resemble? That resembles me lowering myself because I understand that God is greater than me. Okay? Every time we see Mary in both of these passages, it says that she was at his feet saying, Lord, now check this out. She says the same thing that Martha says, but she says it in a different place. See, some of us can pray the same thing somebody else says, but if you're standing over God, it's different than when you're laying at his feet. Now, I believe that God, she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And because she worshiped, it says this. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? they said to him, Lord, come and see. And then one of the most moving passages in the Bible, also the shortest scripture in the Bible, says Jesus wept. Now, why did Jesus cry? Because of where Mary met him in worship. See, some of us want to. This is why when you worship God, it's so powerful. You want things from God, but you haven't learned to get down. Put him in his rightful place. Worship him and say, God, she said the same thing that Martha said, but she said it in a different spirit. It was a different tone. It says Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Okay? And some of them said, could not this man, catch this, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also kept this man from dying? Now, where are they asking that question? Are they on the floor? No, they're doing what you call, they're the people that are just around. They just watching. They were actually at the cross too, right? Can he save himself? Right? There's a lot of times where there's people around that are saying a lot of things, and it's really just to mock. Oh, if God can heal, then why did this happen? If God is able to do, if he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly all above I can think or imagine, then how come I didn't think it was going to happen like that? Right? They just around. But somebody has to get on the ground. Worship God until he begins to weep for your situation. Come on, somebody. I think that's good. It says, then Jesus, again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Jesus said, take away the stone. Now, Martha, who wasn't at the place of worship, was like, hold up, Jesus, what are you doing? He's been dead for 4 days. And nobody prepared his body for burial. They didn't give him the perfume like they did for Jesus, right? Remember that lady that was at his feet? Uh-oh, there's another one. There's a lady that was washing his feet, worshiping God. And it says, because she was at his feet, worshiping God, the things that she did would be told all throughout the world when they hear about Jesus. But Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said, Lord, by this time there was a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? He had to remind her again, because she didn't get it the first time. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Now catch this, how Jesus is praying now. Okay? And it says, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that you may believe, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried forth a loud voice and said, Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, to them, loose him and let him go. Okay, so I'm going to say this. I really believe that if Mary didn't come to Jesus the way that she did, something might not have happened. If you go right before this, the disciples, Jesus was telling the disciples, I got to go see Lazarus, but I'm going to wait a little bit. And he's laid up. And they didn't get it. He's like, man, Lazarus is dead. But I'm going. And I believe he was called there. Because Mary might have been praying already. She might have already been worshiping. Even though he wasn't in that area, she was already on her face. spending time with God. And you're spending time with God, you have to be desperate. You have to seek him for direction, but you also have to know that he is God and humble yourself and pray. The Bible says if you humble yourself and pray and seek his face, turn from your evil ways, then I will hear from heaven, right? Hear from heaven and heal your land. I missed one part. Hear from heaven, forgive your sins, and heal your land. But it comes from bowing down in your spirit, understanding that he is greater than you. Heavenly Father, I just thank you to God for your word. I pray to God that this word will go forth, dear God, that it would impact our lives, dear God, that this week we start praying different. God, that this week we start seeking your face different, oh God. Dear God, that this week, dear God, that we don't be consumed with our own mission, our own purpose, but we ask you, God, what must I do to please you? So, God, we give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise, oh God. And we say, let your spirit move in Jesus' name. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.